Parshas Vayigash, in many ways, is the climax of a drama that began weeks ago. I mean, in real time, began decades earlier. And in terms of the Parshas of Chumash, began weeks ago. Parshas Vayeshev Parshas Vayeshev were introduced to Yosef and his brothers. We begin to see the tension, and it continues and it grows. And by the end of Vayeshev, Yosef is already down in Mitzrayim. In Miketz, the brothers come. Yosef rises to power. The brothers come to Mitzrayim, and the initial meeting and the back and forth, and the tension is growing. And finally, Parshas Vayigash, the tension is at its peak in the beginning of Vayigash, and then the great reveal, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai, things begin to fall into place. Yaakov comes down with his entire family. And at the very beginning of the Aliyah of Shavi'i, things appear to be falling into place. And the story appears to be drawing to its close. Things have been resolved. Yaakov, here we are in Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Tes, Yaakov Avinu, is explained to Par what his life has been like, and Pasuk Yud gives him a bracha. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ayoshev Yosef Aviv Esechav, Ayitein Lemachuza Beretz Mitzrayim, B'meitav Haaretz, Beretz Ramses. Yosef settles his family, Ve'yichalkel Yosef Es Aviv Esechav, and he makes sure they're taken care of. Lechem Lefi Ataf. Pasuk Yud Beis. And it seems as though Vayigash should be basically done with Pasuk Yud Beis. And the family is reunited, they're in Mitzrayim, and the Torah could have picked up at that point with the beginning of Parshas Vayechi. Decades later, the end of Yaakov Avinu's life, we need to hear about Yaakov Avinu's bracha to two of his grandchildren, Menashe and Ephraim. We need to hear about Yaakov Avinu's brachas and rebuke and other interactions with the rest of his children, and the end of Yaakov's life and his burial in Eretz Yisrael, and so on and so forth. All of Parshas Vayechi. Vayigash could have, you would have thought, ended right here with Pasuk Yud Beis. But the Torah isn't done with Parshas Vayigash. Parshas Vayigash is going to go on until Pasuk Chaf Zayin. An additional 15 psukim. What are these psukim about? Shift focus to Mitzrayim as a whole. The lechem ein b'chalei haaretz. Ki chavad harav ma'od. There's no food to be had in all of Mitzrayim, because as Yosef had interpreted Paro's dreams close to a decade earlier, there would be the 7 years of Sava, the 7 years of plenty, would be followed by 7 years of Ra'av, 7 years of famine. We've already been hearing about that in a more granular way in terms of the ins and outs of Yaakov's family, but now the psukim zoom out to say that's what's going on in Mitzrayim as a whole, and maybe Haaretz might be even more than just Mitzrayim, but the entire area, the Middle East, Northern Africa, the Tela Eretz Mitzrayim, Eretz Kanan, Pnei Rav, they're exhausted, they're wiped out, the food stores are wiped out. We begin to hear Yosef carrying out the plan that he had described so many years earlier to Paro. Like, hey, Yosef is called Akesef, he begins to sell the food that he had accumulated on behalf of Paro over the course of the 7 years of Sava, and begins to sell it, and begins to aggregate the cash of Mitzrayim and the surrounding countries on behalf of Paro. And then the money runs out, it begins to buy up the land, he aggregates all the real estate on behalf of Paro, finally people sell themselves, and so on and so forth, and Yosef keeps him going. And then the very end, The last pasuk of what we lay in is Parshat Vayigash, pasuk Chavzayin, Vayeshev Yisrael Be'eretz Mitzrayim Be'eretz Goshen Vayeachazu Ba Vayifru Vayirbu Ma'od. That's their return to the major thread of the story of Klal Yisrael, of the emerging Klal Yisrael, and that sets us up for Parshas Vayichi. But in between pasuk Yudbeis and pasuk Chavzayin are 14 psukim, the extensive retelling of the story of how Yosef handled his career, how Yosef handled his governmental responsibilities, running the agriculture and running the food supply of Mitzrayim. Why is this in Chumash? This isn't the first time we've had such a question. We've asked in the past a number of times that the number of sedras of the course of Chumash Breishis, where it seems like there's an epilogue at the end of the parsha, and every time we struggle to understand why is it there. And each time you have to figure out why is that particular epilogue there? Why is the genealogy of Yishmael? Why does that appear? Why does the Torah spend so much time in the genealogy of Esav? And each time you have to work to a solution. And here at the end of Vayigash, we wonder, why are we hearing about Yosef at work? Yes, Yosef had a job and he did his job. The vast, as we've said many times in the course of Chumash Bereishis, the vast majority of the episodes and the lives of every single one of the tzaddikim whom we meet in Chumash, the vast majority of their lives aren't described in Chumash. Avraham lives for 175 years. We don't hear about 175 years worth of episodes from his life because the Chumash is recording history, but it's not a historical record. The focus of the Chumash is not to be a comprehensive historical record, not to be a comprehensive history book. That's not the goal. Nevuah shehutzrichu l'doros nichtava, nevuah shelo hutzrichu l'doros lo nichtava. The Torah is only telling us those episodes which are relevant for all generations. Oh, Avraham went to work, Avraham did this, Avraham did this, that, Yosef did this, and Yitzhak did that, but the Chumash doesn't tell us everything. The Chumash tells us the things that have relevance for all generations. Why is this relevant? Why do we need to know that Yosef carried out the plan that was already described earlier? Or if need be, it could have been a pasuk or two. Right? Pasuk Yud Gimel, the opening of these 14 psukim, pasuk Yud Gimel says, V'lechem ein b'chol ha'aretz, Torah describes in broad strokes the concern, the problem, the crisis. There was famine, and they could say, and Yosef carried out the plan as had been described earlier. Why do we need to hear in such detail 14 psukim and chumash? What's that all about? So let's take a look at the Ramban. It's a particularly juicy Ramban, as someone said earlier, particularly succulent Ramban, in the sense that it's a particularly dense Ramban, very, very short. The Ramban will take a look with you together. And a very brief Ramban, a Ramban who, Kidarko Bakodesh, doesn't actually spell out the question that he's asking. It's an implied question. And over the course of a very brief Ramban, implies a question and gives us three different terutzim, each of which is fascinating in terms of understanding the Chumash and has a practical impact in terms of our life and our Avos Hashem. Let's take a look. Here we are in Pasuk Yudalad. Ramban writes, Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Yudalad, Vayel Akeit Yosef et Kol HaKesef VeGomer. Yosef begins to gather all the money, etc., etc., etc. Siper HaKasav Zeh VeGomer Ha'in B'chol HaParsha. The Torah tells us this story and completes the topic over the course of this Parsha. In other words, Ramban is asking, without saying it, why the Torah tell to me? And not only why the Torah tell to me, why did you tell it to me in such great detail? The Gomar Inu B'chol HaParsha. Such granularity. Such detail. First he bought this, and then he bought that, and then people were paying with money, and then people were paying with real estate. Why do you need to hear all of this? Why do you need to hear it B'chol? Why do you need to hear it B'frat? Why do you need to hear it at all, even in broad strokes? And why do you need to hear all of that detail? Ramban writes, Ramban writes, Lahodia malos Yosef b'chachmo v'tumah v'das. You have to know, as I said before, This is a very brief Ramban. And if you would just sort of read it, I'm trying to structure it for you in advance. There's a kasha, three terutzim. If you would just read it, it reads very simply, though he's, you know, not, it just said epis something. He told the whole story, as Ramban says, Lo'odia malas Yosef b'chachma v'tvuna v'das. To tell you the qualities of Yosef in wisdom. B'chachma b'tvuna u'v'das. Okay, to tell us that he was, Yosef was smart, sounds like. V'chihai ish emunim, and he was an honest person. Shehevi kol ha-kesef beis paro, all the money comes to him. V'lo asa li'atzma otro kesef matmone mistarim be'aretz Mitzrayim. He did not make any stash of cash, anything hidden away for himself in Mitzrayim. O l'shalcho l'aretz Kanan, nor to send it to Eretz Kanan. He gave to the king who trusted in him all the money. The kanalos adama, he bought up all the real estate. Gam hagufos, even the bodies, even the people. And he found favor in the eyes of the people. The people loved him. His approval ratings were very high. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives hatzlacha, who gives success to those who have Yiras Elokim. What did the Ramban just say? So I think, as I told you before, he actually saying three different terutzim. You'll notice very soon after he asks the kasha, he begins to talk about honesty. But I think that's answer number two. Because what do you mean to say, Lahodiyah, let's take it step by step. Lahodiyah malos Yosef b'chachma b'tvunu v'das. The Torah is telling me the positive quality of Yosef in wisdom. Chachma tvunu v'das. Chabad. Chachma bina v'das. Well, what does that mean? The Torah wants to tell us how smart Yosef was? Shkayach. What does that do for me? How is that a nevuah shahutzur chalodoros? HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Yosef with intelligence. Number one, we noticed that already. It was pretty clear over the course of the preceding prakim that Yosef is an incredibly intelligent man. And not only is that redundant because we know it already, it seems irrelevant. Why is it Hutzur Chalodoros? So Yosef Atzak was blessed with intelligence. See, either I'm also blessed with intelligence or I'm not blessed with intelligence. But either way, how am I impacted by knowing a gift that Yosef had? That was a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. If anything, and perhaps I've shared with some of you in the past, one of the most famous letters penned by Rav Yitzchak Huttner, the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, is the famous collection of Sfarim, Pachad Yitzchak, his Mamarim on Machshava, authored supposedly by his daughter. He gave these Mamarim in Yeshiva in Chaim Berlin, and apparently she was there behind the Mechitza, that's how the story is told, and she took the best notes. So her notes became the safer. So most of the volumes of Pachad Yitzchak are Rebbetzin David's notes of her father's Mamarim, Machshava on the Moedim. But there's a volume of Igros, there's a volume of letters. Letters he wrote mostly to Talmidim over the years. One of the most famous letters is that he's unhappy about the way the many biographies of Gedolim are written. He says when you have these sort of these stereotypical biographies, where they, by the time he was 5 years old, he knew Kol Tarkula. By the time he was 7 years old, he was doing Staka B'Seser. And by the time he was 10, he knew all of Zohar. So it may or may not be true. And there are situations where it is true. But it's not very helpful. Because if you get the misimpression that that's always true, if you get the misimpression that every tzaddik and every Talmud Chacham was already a child prodigy, so look at me. Well, I'm already 13, and I'm not yet the Bucky Bashas, so I may as well just throw in the towel. There's no hope for me. And it's not true. There were tzaddikim and talmid chachamim who were child prodigies, and there were plenty who were not. So to make it, so what's gained here by telling me Yosef was blessed with wisdom? Shkayach! What does it do for me? So I think what it means is something else. I've been thinking for a very long time that it means something else. And 2 years ago, a Talmud pointed out to me a Ramban earlier in Parshas, in Perek Mem Aleph, that perhaps speaks to this as well. It doesn't mean that Yosef was blessed with wisdom. What we are seeing here is something we'll come across soon in Mesillas Yesharim, in the next Midah, in the Midah of Zrizus. Yosef HaTzadik, in Parshas Miketz, he was a visionary. Paro literally had a vision. Paro had dreams. And Yosef said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the capacity to explain to you what you're seeing. Here's what's happening. Here's what's going to go down. And then he says to Paro, I'm not just going to tell you what the problem is. I'm going to give you a solution as well. Here's how, then that's where you really see Yosef's visionary capacity. There's a problem, there's famine coming, and here's what you need to do. You got to pick a ish navam v'chacham, and you got to have a man with a plan. You got to have someone who's going to carry this out, put a whole system into place to gather the excess food over the course of the 7 years of Sava and put it aside, and then you'll be able to distribute it. You'll have it ready over the 7 years of famine. And he describes a whole system that's going to be developed and managed, and that's how you're going to make this happen. In Parshas Miketz, Yosef was a visionary. He was the man of the plan. Yosef said, I see a problem, and here's what you need to do. That's great. Here we see a different midah, that Yosef actually followed through. He didn't just have a great idea, he actually did it. And he put in the hard work of seeing the nice plan from drawing board to reality. And what the Ramchal describes in his discussion of Zrizus, of living life with enthusiasm and with energy, is that sometimes people need to work on Zrizus Kodem Haschala Samaisa, and sometimes on Zrizus La'achar Haschala Samaisa. You need the Zrizus to get started before you get started. You need the Zrizus energy to get over the hump and get going. You need to be a starter. You also need Zrizus after you get started. I already got started, but sometimes you got started with a lot of fanfare and excitement. I had a new plan, I had a new Seder, I had a new idea, and I got started. But then sometimes once you're actually going, you sort of like run out of steam. I got a great idea, I was going to learn the Chavrusa, do this, do that, whatever. And the first week or two went great. And then sort of there's this fizzle factor. And it starts, you know, the energy, after the novelty wears off, the energy sort of subsides. So that's where you need the second type of Zrizus. Zrizus la'achar haschalas ha'maisa. Zrizus after you've already begun. There's the Zrizus of beginning, kodem haschalas ha'maisa, and there's the Zrizus of seeing things through, maintenance, keeping things going, maintaining the energy, maintaining the momentum. And for some people, the first one comes more naturally, and the second one is where I need to work on myself. And for some people, the second one comes more naturally, but it's the first one where I need to work on myself. Some people are closers, some people are starters. The starter is a guy who has a great idea, has enthusiasm, and let's do this. A guy might be naturally a starter, but he might not be a closer. He might have a harder time sort of keeping things going and getting to the finish line. Other guys might not be starters. I'm not the guy with the big ideas, naturally. But if you have an idea, I'll make it happen. I'm the closer. I'm the operations guy. Yosef was both. I think that's what the Ramban is saying. The first lesson from this parsha is the same man who had the vision of Parshas Miketz also had the endurance of Parshas Vayigash. He actually got it done. And those are critically important mitos. All of us need to work on. And Yosef is a model for us. Not that Yosef had the gift of wisdom. He did have the gift of wisdom for Kodesh Baruch. But that's a divine gift. Either I also have the gift or I don't have the gift. But what does it help me? How does it inspire me to know Yosef was given gifts? That's not the Ramban's point, I don't think. I think the Ramban's point is, look what Yosef did with his gifts. And he had, on the one hand, he had honed and developed his Zrizus Kodem Haschalas HaMaisa, to have the vision, to have the plan, Parshas Miketz. And on the other hand, he also had cultivated the Zrizus Achar Haschalas HaMaisa. Year after year after year, he keeps this plan going, he sees it through. The momentum didn't wane. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it came naturally. That may have been Nisayon for Yosef. And he was only Nisayon. And those are midos that we can also, to look at the mirror and ask myself, make the cheshbon nefesh of, you know, where are my strengths and where do I not yet have strengths and what do I want to work on? Do I need to develop my capacity to be a better starter, to have the plan, to get started, to have the enthusiasm of let's get it going? Yeah, let's do this. Or maybe that comes naturally. I need to work on the midah of the zerizos acharos chalos ha'maaseh, the capacity to keep things going. Which things come naturally, and not just which things do I not do, but which things do I not yet do? What am I not yet good at that I want to work on? So that, I believe, is lesson number one. Now let's take a look at teretz number two. Yichihaya ish emunim. In addition to this parsha describing Yosef modeling for us both halves of the Zrizos coin, being a starter and a closer, he was also a person of incredible integrity. Shehevi kol ha-kesef beis paro. All the money comes to Paro's palace, Paro's treasury. And let's just think about this for a moment, Rabosai. Think for a moment about how much cash passed through Yosef's hands over the course of those years. How much? All of the cash of Mitzrayim and much of the cash of the surrounding countries. Just think for a moment in real terms of what that means. In our terminology, billions, if not trillions of dollars. Literally, billions, if not trillions of dollars passed through Yosef's hands. Cash, real estate, people, the amount of value that the dollar amounts that were passing through Yosef's hands, it's staggering. There was no slush fund. There was no Swiss bank account. Nothing got diverted. And it's interesting, to look at the descriptions Rabban gives of what Yosef could have done but did not. He didn't make Otsros Kesef, storehouses of money. That sounds like a sort of a public account. Or Matmone Mistarim, something hidden. Both Matmon and Seser mean something hidden. A hidden bank account. A hidden stash. Neither in Eretz Mitzrayim, neither locally, Ola Shalchol Eretz Canaan. He also didn't send it back home, you know, an offshore account, the Swiss bank account, or something in the Bahamas, in the Cayman Islands. None of that dishonesty. He could have done it. And the Ramban stresses, who did he give it to? The Melech HaBoteach Bo. Paro trusted him. We saw that in last week's parsha. Paro is so taken by Yosef. Yosef opens his mouth once, and Paro is absolutely sold. And they're giving him parsha nikates. Yosef says, here's what your dream means, and let you be a solution seller. Here's how you're going to solve it. And Paro says, wow, you are the man. And almost immediately, Paro says, remember last week's parsha? He says, you're in charge. Your word is law. No one will. Rakakise Egdal Mimeka, you're not the king. I remain, the throne is mine, but you're the number two man. And you're the executive vice president who's actually going to be running the country. He tells Yosef that up front, very clearly, in last week's parsha. No one will raise a hand or foot in this country without your say so. You are in charge. Yosef was totally holding the reins. He was in the driver's seat. He could have done anything. The Melech HaBoteach Bo. Paro totally trusted him. And no one else was in a position to ask any questions. So basically, Yosef was a man with no human accountability. No human being would be asking any questions. No human being would be looking over his books. He could, again, talking about billions and trillions of dollars. Yosef easily could have said, what's a couple of million? Number one, no one's going to notice. It won't be a scandal. And he even could have convinced himself, he could have been more heter. He could have convinced himself that it's really rationalized, it's really okay. I deserve something. I'm giving almost everything. Paro's getting $1 trillion. What's a couple of minutes? It's not even going to matter to him. Yosef could have rationalized. It would have been so easy. He had the motive. He had the opportunity. And he didn't. He didn't cheat Paro out of 1 cent. Everything went to base Paro. The cash, the real estate, the people, he was an honest broker. And if you think about it for a moment, It could be that this is an even greater Nisayon than the one for which Yosef is famous. And we call Yosef Atzadik Yosef Atzadik because Eshes Potiphar. Eshes Potiphar. That was an incredible Nisayon. But arguably the Ramban is pointing that is alluding to this may have been a far greater Nisayon. Trillions of dollars! No one's asking questions. And not a single penny got diverted into Yosef's personal accounts. Not a single penny went where it didn't belong. And Bosai, these are common nisyonos. The nisayon of Eshes Potiphar is unfortunately comes up. And the nisayon of Lahavias Kala Kesav Beis Paro. This is something that many people grapple with. It's not easy. Chemdas HaMamon is very strong. The Dezamishi Yeshal Mona wrote some asaim. I have some money, I wish I had some more. And when there's motive, not only motive, but opportunity, and I feel like I could get away with it, no one would know. Many people, sadly, tragically, give into the Yitzhara. And the Torah gives us this 14 pasuk description of Yosef HaTzadik. Rabban says, answer number two is to let you know that you can overcome that Nisayon. You can be like Yosef. Just like Yosef reached back when he was grappling with the Nisayon of Eshes Potiphar, and Dumus Diukno Shel Yaakov Neros Lo Bachalon, he sees an image of Yaakov, reminds him of who he is and what he could be and what he could strive for. I'm better than this. I'm not going to fall prey to the Yetzer of Eshes Potiphar. The Torah here is giving us Dumus Diukno Shel Yosef, that when a Jew is challenged by the nisayon of dishonesty, by the nisayon of lowering his standards of integrity, and I feel like no one would know, and I feel like I could rationalize it's really okay, and ta-da-da, I'm reminded, but Yosef did it. Yosef remembered that there's no human accountability in his case, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu would know, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would care. And Yosef held himself to the standard that he knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected him to hold himself. And he did it, and so can we. And with that, the Ramban brings us to the third and final answer, the third and final lesson that this Parsha is teaching us. The first two lessons were about human choices, that human beings can become both starters and closers. Human beings can cultivate both halves of Zerizus. And the human beings can succeed against the tremendous Yitzre Hara for dishonesty. You can do it. You can maintain integrity even when it's really, really tough. The third lesson is not about our business. It's insight into how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs things. U'matza b'zechein gamkein be'enei ha'am. He even found favor in the eyes of the people. Ki Hashem hu matzliach esireyev. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives success to the people who have Yiras Shamayim. Yosef had demonstrated such extraordinary Yiras Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name has been on Yosef's lips throughout his stay in Mitzrayim. And here he actually literally put his money where his mouth was. Or I guess he, because of Hashem on his mouth, he put someone else's money in someone else's account. Extraordinary year of Selakim. And a Nes Nistar, you would have thought that Yosef would be this reviled politician. I mean, he was acting on behalf of the country, but it wasn't a pleasant pill to swallow. They had to give away their money, they had to give away their real estate. Yosef had taking care of their lives. But too often people too often people hate the messenger. And here, unbelievable, Yosef says, Yosef does this, and the Psukim say that the people loved him. His approval ratings were through the roof. That was a Nes Nistar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of him. Hashem hu matzliach esireyev. He didn't take what was not his, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had his back. This is a short, dense, juicy Ramban. As I said to you before, He takes these 14 psukim that if we're learning Chumash seriously, we're going to have to ask ourselves, why are they here? And gives us not only three answers to answer the parshanut question of what's the purpose of these psukim in Chumash, but three very, very practical, real nuggets of inspiration that can help us moving forward.